Good morning, brothers and sisters, and welcome to the Heatherridge Sixth Ward Sacrament meeting today. I'd like to extend a especially warm welcome to those that are visiting or here for the first time. Thank you for coming and worshiping with us today. I would like to excuse the bishop who is traveling with family, as well as Brother Roberts, who will be attending a little bit later today. He has a family commitment right now of an airport trip. By way of announcement, just a couple. One is that we have our Heatherridge Sixth Ward Youth Conference coming up August 19th. The Hollands are helping spearhead and plan that, along with all the different auxiliaries. And it's going to be a wonderful experience for the youth, as well as involvement of other ward members. So that should be a wonderful opportunity and experience. I'd also like to thank those who have continued to help with the cleaning of our building on Saturdays. All those who came out yesterday, and we have the schedule up on the program as well for these upcoming couple of weeks. Our invocation will be offered by Brother Rick Graves.
Our kind and gracious Father in heaven, we have a few of thy children, friends and neighbors come to thee this morning with grateful hearts for all that thou dost give us. We're grateful for the blessings of this day, for the beautiful weather we've had, for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and for the safety and protection that it provides us against the evils of the world. We're grateful for the sacrifice of thy Son, and although we don't fully comprehend a lot of it, we ask thee to help us to increase our faith, increase our understanding, and increase our strength as we listen to the talks this day. Again, we love thee and thank thee and dedicate ourselves to thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I'd also like to thank Clark Jackman for being our chorus today and Shannon Holland at the organ. And I'd also like to personally thank Larry Schaffer, our high priest group leader, for sitting with me at the stand and keeping me company today. We do have a number of items of ward business today. First of all, the following member has been called to new calling, and we propose they be sustained. Will the following please stand if they are present? William Brunst as a scout committee member. Those in favor may manifest it by the uplifted hand. Any opposed may also manifest it. We also received a number of new member records over the past several weeks. We have received the following membership records into the ward, and we invite them to stand as their names are read, including our speakers today. Ryan and Hannah Decker, Tanner and Casey Smith, Dean and Mary Lou Vertel are now officially in our ward, and Ben and Taylor Bond. Those that can accept these members in full fellowship, please indicate by the up. We'd like to thank the Aaronic priesthood and Melchizedek priesthood for the reverent manner in which they administered the sacrament today. We have a wonderful meeting today we look forward to. Our first speaker will be Sister Hannah Decker, after which we will have a piano solo, Beautiful Savior, by Ethan Beckstead, and then we will have our concluding speaker will be Brother Ryan Decker.
Good morning. My name is Hannah Decker, and for those of you that don't know us, I'm Hannah. This is my husband, Ryan. We've been married for almost 5 years. We met playing volleyball and did a lot of the, you know, side eye, like checking each other out. Without letting him know, I was checking him out. It was great. Right now, we are living in the groom's basement, my parents. I just graduated in a graphic design from BYU, and we have 3 cats. So now you know. If you don't like cats, then we probably can't be friends. But anyways. So the talk that I've been asked to talk about is called And This Is Life Eternal by Elder C. Scott Groh. And while I've been pondering about this talk and the topic, the thought came to my mind, what are some things that are keeping us from developing a personal relationship with God? And the quick, brief and limited list that I came up with is guilt, fear, grudge holding, anger, laziness, sadness, frustration, sin, unworthiness, etc. I think it's important to recognize what is holding us back from knowing our Savior and number one supporter. Essentially, this talk is kind of a one-on-one tutorial on how to know our Heavenly Father. And I'm going to be that person, and I'm going to encourage you to put your phones away, not so that you can listen to me, heaven forbid, but so you can listen to the Spirit and feel the love that God and our Savior have for you. So this talk kind of talks about getting to know our Heavenly Father, and it has five things. The first one is to get to know Him through prayer. When you pray with faith, you will feel God's love as His Spirit speaks to your soul. No matter how alone or uncertain you may feel at times, you are not alone in this world. God knows you personally, and as you pray, you will come to know Him. I remember a time during my high school years, because high school is the worst, when I felt very lonely, as I said a short prayer asking for help writing a difficult paper for my professor, Mr. Negro. Any of you guys that go to Timpanogos might know this wonderful individual. My eyes were led to a closet door in our home where a Mormon ad was hung. It said, "You are never alone. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." This is John 14:18. And I just want to encourage you that when you're feeling alone or you feel like you might need a little bit of extra help, that prayer can really help you get to know your Heavenly Father. The second point is to know Him through scripture study. As you study and ponder the scriptures, you too will hear God's voice, know His words, and come to know Him. God will reveal His eternal truths to you personally. These doctrines and principles will become part of who you are and will emanate from your very soul. I asked my dad this morning if he had any profound experiences of coming to know God through scripture study. His response was not an experience per se, but nonetheless was profound. He said, "Oftentimes we desire some grand experience when really small daily scripture study affects your life by changing your outlook on life and maybe your attitude." The third one, know Him by doing His will. In addition to our praying and studying the scriptures, we need to do God's will. The Savior is our perfect example. He said, "I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me." As we seek to do God's will by faithfully serving Him and our fellow men, we feel His approval and truly come to know Him. Heavenly Father's will comes in different ways for every person. His will for you might be to find a spouse later in life than you originally planned. His will for you might be to take a job that you don't really want. His will for you might be that your grandparent passes away sooner than you had hoped. His will for you might be that you are assigned a visiting teaching companion that you can't stand. His will for you might be that you transfer colleges, change your major, and graduate in 7 years instead of four like you wanted. That was me. The point I'm trying to make is that God's will isn't always what we want. As part of our earthly growth, we'll be tested and asked to do things and be okay with things that we don't understand or might not like or might not even agree with. Ultimately, our Heavenly Father knows what will bring us happiness in our lives, even when we think we might know better. The fourth point is to know Him by becoming like Him. Through our faith in His atoning sacrifice, the Savior cleanses us, heals us, and enables us to know Him by helping us become like Him. Mormon taught, "Pray unto the Father with all the energy of heart, that ye may become the sons and daughters of God, that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him." As we strive to become like God, He can make more of us than we could ever make of ourselves. We all have the potential to become like our Father in heaven. And the fifth and last point is to know Him by following mentors. And this is a quote by Elder C. Scott Groh. "My young brothers and sisters, knowing God is the quest of a lifetime, and this is life eternal. that we might know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom the Father has sent. God knows you and invites you to know him. Pray to the Father, study the scriptures, seek to do God's will, strive to become like the Savior, and follow righteous mentors. As you do, you will come to know God and Jesus Christ, and you will inherit eternal life. I want to bear my testimony that our Heavenly Father and Savior live, that they love you, and that although life may bring experiences that are difficult, there are also experiences that are wonderful that will bless your life and will help you get through any hard or difficult experiences you may be having. And I testify that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for that wonderful musical number. I grew up in a home where my mom was a piano teacher and all four of my sisters play the piano and gives me cold chills every time, so thank you. I don't play the piano, so don't get any wise ideas. I also thought, for many of you that know Hannah already, you know that she likes to talk a lot. So I was surprised that she didn't take more time and I didn't prepare as many notes, so I may be letting you guys out early today. But I wanted today to talk about a professional stumbler. My one-year-old nephew, Bridger, he's constantly doing things he's never done before, especially trying to walk. And there really aren't any good books or videos on the topic, at least that he can watch or understand. So instead, he has to figure it out on his own. And one day he's going to be waiting on the couch and, you know, proudly strut around and walk. But until then, he's on the floor every day. He's trying it. And, you know, he's already discovered 100 ways that doesn't work, and he's stumbled countless times, but he persists. And I don't know about you, but this is precisely the way I learned how to walk. And in fact, it's pretty much the way that I've learned how to do anything important, which is by doing it. It turns out that we're all professional stumblers, especially me, as was made evident earlier this week when I commuted to work up to Salt Lake. I got out of my car and, I was wearing a black shirt, and like Hannah said, we have cats, and so I got a lint roll a little bit so I don't go into the office with all this cat hair on my black shirt. And then after that, I was going to put the lint roller into my bag and smack right in my face, this sharp, leafy something hit me in the face and nearly knocked me to the ground. In fact, I had to put one hand down because it just was so startling. And I walked into a tree. And I didn't think anything of it. And like probably most of you would have done is you got to look around and see who saw you. And luckily, the parking lot was fairly empty. A few cars, but the thing I worried about is the few cars I did see were some of my coworkers that arrived to work really early. I look up at our building, it's like on the third or fourth floor, the windows are open, and just in the back of my mind, I knew that the whole entire company was just probably watching me just bam, right into the tree. Turns out I go up the elevator and I walk in, and three or four of them just have the biggest grins on their face. They all had a good show this morning and filled their bucket, hopefully. And the point of this story is we're all going to stumble. We're all going to fail at something. And the trick is to be able to laugh it off and be confident that even with these stumblings and things that you run into, things will always work out in the end. The point here is to bounce back, to reflect, to repent. That's really the purpose of what it means to me to stand up inside and be all in. And that's the topic of my talk today is a talk by Elder Gary Sabin, which is to stand up inside and be all in. He says, "We stand up inside when we wait patiently upon the Lord to remove or give us strength to endure our thorns in the flesh. Such thorns may be disease, disability, mental illness, death of a loved one, and so many other issues. We stand up inside when we lift up the hands that hang down. We stand up inside when we defend the truth against a wicked and secular world that is becoming increasingly more uncomfortable with light, calling evil good and good evil, and condemning the righteousness or the righteous because of their righteousness. Standing up inside in spite of difficulties is possible because of a clear conscience, the strengthening and comforting assurance of the Holy Ghost, and an eternal perspective which surpasses mortal understanding. In our pre-mortal life, we shouted for joy with the opportunity to experience mortality. We were all in. As we excitedly made the decision to be valiant defenders of our Heavenly Father's plan, it is time to stand up and defend His plan again. And we're all here to learn. That's why we're here. And the Apostle Paul could have been describing our day when he told Timothy that some, having swerved, have turned aside to vain jangling. There's a lot of vain jangling going on in the world today. It is a conversation of those in the great and spacious building. Often it appears as the form of rationalization to justify wickedness, or manifests itself when people lose their way and accelerate. It sometimes comes from those who have not paid the price to be all in and prefer to follow the natural man as opposed to the prophet. Gratefully, we know how it ends for the faithful. When we are all in, we're having an all-encompassing assurance that all things will work together for the good, together for good to them that love God. As Elder Neil A. Maxwell said, don't fear, just live right. And, you know, sometimes it does take that confidence and assurance and courage. But again, I've also noticed that a little bit of humor can always help. One of my good friends, he said it like this when about a week or two ago. He wanted to do something really wonderful for his wife for their anniversary. And so he got all these Airbnbs and hotels in Italy and planned this great trip around Italy. Got the tickets, they were gonna fly into Florence and then kind of go from there. And when he was looking to confirm his trip about a week before they went, he realized that he had booked a trip to Florence, South Carolina, instead of Florence, Italy. So he had all these hotels and everything in Italy, but his flight was going to South Carolina. So trying to make the best of that situation, you know, this is the first time he had booked any flight. In fact, neither of them had even been out of the country. So he, had the courage and also had the humor to try to laugh it off and make the best out of that situation. Found out that Myrtle Beach was about an hour drive away, and so they went to Myrtle Beach for their anniversary. It was a good example for me because, you know, in life we have really hard things that happen to us. We stumble and we fall, but it's our choice to make the best out of it. And like I said, a little bit of humor goes a long ways. So as we're faithful, we can have the equal certainty that things will work out well for us in the end. The Lord's promises are sure. This does not mean that this mortal university will be easy or without many tears, but as Paul wrote, "Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him." And to bring this full circle here, the key is to continually repent, rely on the Lord, and we gain strength in possessing that humility and faith even as a little child. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
We'd like to thank, what a wonderful meeting. I'd like to thank all those who participated. Speaking today of the Deckers, Ethan for the musical number and everything. And thanks once again, thank you for all those that are here visiting with us today. We will now close our meeting by singing hymn number 101, Guide Me to Thee, after which our benediction will be offered by Sister Suzanne Peterson.
Our kind Father in heaven, with joy in our hearts and gratitude, we come before thee at the closing of this meeting. Grateful for the spirit that was here and the things that we were taught. Father in heaven, please help us have the courage, the determination, and the strength to go forth this week and to choose the right in all that we do. Please bless our missionaries. Please bless our prophet. Please bless all those that are suffering or wandering. Watch over them, protect them, and comfort them. We're grateful again for everything thou's given us, and we say these things. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.